You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Steel producer ArcelorMittal South Africa fell deeper into a half-year loss as we saw demand for steel dropping due to the coronavirus outbreak and output declining after operations were shut during lockdown. Africa's biggest steel producer, which is majority owned by ArcelorMittal SA, said its headline loss had increased to 2.6 billion rand at the halfway mark from a loss of 638 million rand a year earlier. CEO Kobus Verster joins us now. Good evening, Kobus. Some extraordinary cash management, though, and cost control measures were implemented in response to COVID. Just walk me through your response.
Yes, I think obviously the lockdown came quite sudden, and that has required extraordinary efforts from our side to bring down fixed costs and to manage liquidity. In any organization, if you suddenly lose 2 months of your top line, you have to do a lot of work to make sure that you can sustain through this. So we have basically in quarter two reduced our fixed costs by almost 40%. And that was, I must say, through help of people. We did salary sacrifices. We basically freeze all procurement. Any other additional type of activity that could improve liquidity.
Now, in the steel industry, we know for quite some time now, excess steelmaking capacity, reduced demand, and cheap imports have been the trio of threats weighing down the industry, and particularly on the import side from China. And we've seen consumption now contracting to the point where it's forecast to be below 3.5 million tons this year. We also know there is some protection for steel. What has COVID meant for imports from China and the impact on supply chains?
Imports during the period is roughly in line with the same levels, 19% in the first half of the year of apparent steel consumption versus 20% last year. So pretty much at the same level. But I think one should understand that the domestic demand is year on year constantly reducing. From an import perspective, mostly China and Russia, and to the extent that we have duties and safeguard protection, at the moment Russia is still excluded from the safeguard portion of protection, and hence from there we always see a substantial amount of imports. But we should also understand there's certain grades of steel not produced in South Africa, so part of that percentage will always be there. But fundamentally, what we require in South Africa is increased demand, infrastructure spend, mining spend, manufacturing spend.
I mean, it's a bottom line scenario for so many industries. How do you boost aggregate demand? Well, we've got a clutch of plans on the table, one from Business for South Africa, another one from the ANC, another one from Treasury. They all converge around infrastructure, and we've been talking about this for the last few months, chatting to Dr. Josienzo Ramakgopa yesterday about the gazetting of the first 50 SIPs. One is hopeful that this time will be different in terms of stimulating infrastructure to boost aggregate demand. Are you hopeful? Are you confident? Is there anything that gives you confidence that this time will be different?
Michael, I think I'm more confident this time around than the previous few years that this has been announced. To the extent, I think there's more granularity now in terms of specific sectors, the amount of projects in that. And I assume very soon we will start getting the detailed projects. So I think to that extent, hopefully, and as well as I understand, there's also privately funded projects. So hopefully we will see some real infrastructure spend very soon.
From your perspective, though, if you look at the bigger picture, the global picture, Director of Primary Metals Processing, Amisha Naidu, was in Parliament today saying that excess global steelmaking capacity of around 440 million tons continues to be the biggest challenge in the global steel sector. And on the back of slowing economic growth, that is just set to increase. She also said the Department of Trade and Competition was working around the clock to assist the likes of ArcelorMittal, but that you were looking for around a 4 billion rand saving on your annual cost base from suppliers and labor. Government has secured commitments in excess of around 500 million from Eskom and Transnet and Kumba, which he says you've rejected so far, as it just isn't enough to save the plant. Where do you see scope for further cost savings?
Michael, I think firstly, just a correction. What government has offered was at the time when we were considering the closure of Saldanha. So they've offered no escalation on Transnet tariffs for Saldanha, and not 14% increase on electricity for Saldanha, but 9%. That equates to about saving for Saldanha of around just over 350 million. For us to accept that, we could not do our restructuring, and we could not close Saldanha. So we have to forgone a savings program which has resulted in 1 billion rand a year fixed cost reduction, and we would have had to continue with Saldanha, which was forecast this year to make a loss of 1.4 billion. So the economics of that proposal, I think, is not quite correctly explained. And totally unacceptable.
And that's why I wanted to get your comment on it, because that's certainly what came across in Parliament. When you look at the case for a local steel industry, I suppose it's a debate, Kobus, that is being had in many other countries as well. The fact that you see the sort of subsidies that the Chinese government provide their industry into the tune of around between 10 and 14 billion US dollars a year. Some say we could just never compete with that kind of protection. So therefore, we should just allow our steelmaking capacity to hit the wall and to become global price takers, in effect. I mean, clearly, you're going to say we can't do that because you're the CEO of ArcelorMittal. But how do we, in a long-term sustainable manner, have a steelmaking industry with those global dynamics?
Michael, to the extent that the country wants and needs a manufacturing sector and to industrialize policy, then you have to produce your own steel. You cannot import steel and think you're going to manufacture final products here. Typically, then the final product will be imported very soon thereafter. I think what's important, where China has unfairness in terms of certain cost, they've got certain states give them advantages for exporting. What countries should do, like the US and Europe and others, South Africa should just level the playing field. We have to pay an import CO2 tax. We're importing CO2 via imports from China. So you should have a border tax. So I don't think those things are impossible to rectify. I just think you should have mechanisms to level the playing field. And then companies like us should compete on an equal base. And to the extent where we have additional disadvantages, like electricity, very expensive, like transport cost, abnormally expensive in South Africa, you should have mechanisms to normalize that. Otherwise, how can you compete?
That was going to be my next question. The fact that you see now Eskom winning its case against NERSA, and there's another huge tariff increase in the pipeline. Obviously, tariffs are negotiated with big industrial consumers, but we have to look at our competitive network type industries and where we are not globally competitive. And port and rail tariffs, you've mentioned electricity is another one. What impact is load shedding as well continuing to have on your business and your operations?
I mean, load shedding, obviously, in an operation like ours, is very disruptive. In the first quarter of this year, between load shedding and when we had to stop operations due to non-availability of material as a result of largely cable theft of Transnet equipment, that has cost us 270 million rand in lost earnings.
270 million rand. I mean, would you start stacking all of these numbers up with all of the companies in the minerals and industrial complex that are heavily impacted by load shedding? You understand why this economy just can't get out of first gear. In fact, get out of reverse. So now, Kobus, your outlook in an environment like this, what are you expecting over the second half?
Well, I think obviously safe that we will not have any backwards movement from a lockdown perspective. Volumes and those should be better. I think internationally prices should also tick up as we see recovery in the steel sector in the US and Europe to be more positive than initially thought. You know, South America, Mexico and Brazil, those are places are all operating at full capacity. So I think we will have a improvement from that perspective. As a company, we have our fixed cost programs that we're implementing. We are currently in a large-scale reorganization again. So cost, I think, is relative under control. So we should see, even under these circumstances, improved and hopefully a profitable second half.
And certainly if we can get those projects off the ground, which now they've been gazetted, there's a 57 or 58-day window within which to get all of the regulatory approvals done and out the way, then hopefully we can start seeing a return to more normal levels of aggregate demand in the manufacturing and construction sectors, which are key industries for steel. Kobus, a great pleasure chatting to you and all the best in executing on that one organization strategy in the second half.